Unless it was somebody getting a background check.
Are you ready? We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. We'll move on. Public comment. Most of you are on the agenda. Mr. Kotke, have you have something for?
I'll be next door. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Just check it. If there is no public comment, we'll move on to the agenda review. If there's any items to be added.
Mayor and Council, the only thing I really have to add that is not on the agenda is city office hours for my vacation, which I can discuss under my report.
Anything else, Council?
And then the one other addition we'd have under the fire department report would be the certificate of recognition for Mr. Trevish.
Okay. Council, anything?
I have an update on the hall painting that I'll talk under my report, as well as the survey that was completed or ended for the city celebration.
Okay, good. Anybody? If not, I guess I'd look for a motion to approve the agenda with the added items.
So be it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda with the added items as stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Carried. We'll move on to the consent agenda. If there's anything of question.
I'd like to see the approval of the minutes for January, February, March, and April pulled until next month because we've just gotten today.
Any other discussion? Otherwise, I guess I'd look for a motion to approve the consent agenda with the removal of the minutes for January, February, and March of 2016.
So moved.
There a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda with the minutes January, February, March, April 2016 to be removed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Fire Department report. Mr. Buckentine. I don't care. We can handle him.
John Trevish for 30 years on the department. Retired here June 1st. Mr. Trevish, Mr. Halls, congratulations.
Thank you.
Certificate, we better turn this one out.
Just behind you.
Henry? Certificate of recognition. This certificate is awarded to John Trevish in recognition of valuable contributions to the city of Hamburg for his 30 years as a volunteer firefighter for the city of Hamburg. 30 years. Congratulations, sir.
Great.
there any other members getting close to that magic term, or? I was just curious if there was somebody in the waiting, or.
We got one going through background checks now. He's got through two. We're just waiting for the third background check. So
okay. How many will you be at then?
So 23, so we'll be back in 24. How many years does he have?
John?
30.
Lately, I didn't get, so I don't know.
No, it was that same 1970, that meeting. So, nothing on the bylaws?
Any discussion on them? Is
did you want to look at them first, Dick?
Well, I probably would go along with the group if they so.
Yeah, the email was sent out on May 6th.
No, I didn't see it evidently, so. Are you looking for approval for tonight? Is it going
to
make?
Yeah, it's just we need to get it. That when we get it, then I get it. And then when you get your minutes approved, then I send it to the state. So it's, you know, when you can get them in your meeting, minutes approve it, then I get a copy, then I forward it mm-hmm. to the.
Well, I guess I'd like to, but is it going to make a difference if it's still next month?
I don't know. I guess probably not.
I don't know. I'm just asking because, like I say, I didn't see them.
Yeah.
Are there major changes?
No, it's just the same changes I reviewed. You know.
Okay. Well, then I guess it's up to the rest of the council to get the ball rolling.
Could you send them out again? What I mentioned?
Yeah.
Time it up?
That'd probably be the best.
If they send them out again, we board on it next month, is that giving enough time?
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't see him.
If people go on their emails, they should see them. They'll be on May 6th. So you should have it in your emails.
With the policies, policy committee just met earlier before this meeting. We got the final rough draft is all written up. Sent it all. We're going to send it to the fire department, get down to approve it, and we'll send it to council for approval. So hopefully, next council meeting we should be
true. I imagine we can probably arrange that. We get all our ducks in a row.
Yeah, because there's a big thing is the storage problems, what we're finding. And we're looking at it, it'd have to come from council anyway.
Well, you're looking at storage and we're looking at room, because
right.
Two in there is so tight. And
that's where we thought, oh, we got the storage.
In addition to the building is kind of financially prohibited.
Right. So that's what we thought. You guys kind of know what you're looking for, so we just thought you could come to our meeting and tell us what you're looking for.
Room.
We all want the same thing.
Isn't that something? Well, I think council will kind of get our heads together here and then we'll get in contact with you so we can get on your agenda or something.
Yeah, I'm going to change for as much as you're at the last Monday of the month.
Okay, last one, yeah, we'll be all right then. I was just thinking the 4th of July coming, but that isn't going to affect nothing. Council, anything for?
Mr. What's that Explorer doing here? Are they still active, or are they scattered, or are they still?
You're here yet. I'm here on some of these claims. That doesn't really pertain to the FD, does it?
Well, it doesn't. It's public safety.
Because we
The fire department falls under public safety as well as animal control. And
animal control?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a formality there.
Okay, because you're like even police contract.
Shouldn't be FD either.
Yeah,
should just be
so.
Public safety.
So basically the extrication collars are the only thing that
would
be, so that's fine.
Yep.
Okay, I just didn't know if something, what or why. You're free. It's your pair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Move on to Mr. Kirk Peterson. Supply HD Supply Waterworks. He's gonna show us a bargain tonight, or
something. Kurt Peterson with HD Supply. I'm in Kurt, so we actually work with your city and other cities around the world by hydrants, valves, pipe. Here's a nice type of water meters. Currently, you have census water meters in your system. And they do, on the outside of your home, say on what's called a touch pad. Looks like this little black oval. And for quite some time, your city's been doing what are called manual reads. They're basically walking into every single house, regardless of what temperature it is, a reading from that water. This is something that I've actually spoken with your city about. 2013, looking to help update your system so that you can move from being manual read to a radio read system. Where basically what happens is the route gets put onto a handheld. I have an example of one here. It's put onto a handheld and lists every single account on here that has a radio on it. And when they activate it and tell it to start reading, it calls out to this external antenna. This antenna calls out and it says anybody that's on this frequency that has these numbers and this information that I want, give me your information. So theoretically, well, give you an example, City of Centerville, we sat in the this is the drive-by system, not the handheld system. We read over 1,500 water meters in under 20 minutes, just standing in City Hall working on it. But that's kind of the power of what these can do. Nice thing about it, being as you already have touchpads on the outside, these radios can be mounted right on the touchpads. This is the type of installation that Hector did last year at City of Buffalo Lake. It's currently doing this year because they've been manual read and they're tired of walking house to house. So it's quite a simple thing where the City of Hutchinson actually just updated from there. It used to be touch read as well, but now they've gone to a full radio read system, actually their full AMI. It's a much bigger system than we're going to talk about today. But every one of these radios has the capability to be a walk-by system, a drive-by system, or a power-based AMI system. So you have full migratability. The radios themselves do not turn on unless they're told to turn on by your reading device. Because, and the reason we're able to do that is Census actually owns their own frequency. They actually have a spectrum that they own that no one else can be on. So protected by the FCC, whereas our competitors out there, they're in the free space, same place as your garage or over energy baby monitors, basically because it is free. Back in the early 2000s, Census actually bought a bunch of two-way spectrum that the old pagers used to be on, and that's how they're utilizing this today. The reason why Census doesn't stay in that free space is because it's getting so jammed with so many devices being used in that area. And all that does is create static and creates issues with actual readability. So what I'm proposing was asked to come in and talk about is, I guess, the simple fact that roughly you have probably half of your system with touchpads, you say?
Yeah. Greg, did you have them numbers off top?
Yeah, with the actual deal, like we have 47 volt style meters. Yes.
So Kurt, with the meters now, in order for us to get it with the system to be able to read every 6 hours or every hour or whatever, is that coming from the radio read or the meter, you know, to be able to collect that data?
I think we can do it both here and here.
Okay. Okay.
So, and you don't have to do this in order to do this.
Okay.
You can put this on first, start doing your radio read, mm-hmm. so you can, your time is being spent, less time is being spent to actually gather data. With the handheld, you can actually pull hourly annual data off of this radio and see every hour rolling through that meter. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Nice thing about it is that this is actually configurable. The city of Carver is also on the system. They have their water meters maintaining hourly reads for 35 days, and they have their radios maintaining 6 hour interval reads so that they can keep an entire year's worth of data on any radio. But if they have to, they can go down and look at an hour on that meter for 3 days. And both are configurable.
Is this the company that was over before you that when you and I went there here a few years ago?
Yeah.
You did a seminar over before
you? Yep.
And so at that time, as I recall, you just had the new meter and then you used the existing wire to put a new badge on the outside of the house.
We can do it. We can
but
do
I mean, that's what you had there. Yep. Is this thing, the white box, is that something new now that's come out?
No, this is the exact same thing.
Do you remember talking about that?
No.
No, I didn't.
We just, this past time Kurt came out, you know, I'd mentioned it, and it got, I can't remember how it got brought up, it just got brought up in discussion, and we were like, huh, that would be a little more easier for us to ease into this system to be able to do that.
And he came out and talked to us, like, a week or two after, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And so the fact that, you know, at that time we were looking at replacing, you know, each meter, eventually.
Right.
But if this is compatible...
Well, now you're just looking at one component versus two.
Right.
So what I would recommend is, obviously, I don't know the total age of your meters that you have out there, but typically a residential meter, if you're a million gallons or 20 years, that's usually the top end of its life. So that's something that we should look at. Your biggest users of water are typically going to be your commercial-sized meters. That's something else that I'm working with cities on. Is actually resizing commercial meters to actually fit the customer. So you're not spending $1,200 to $1,400 on an inch and a half or 2 inch water meter. You can actually get away with a 1 inch I-curl at under $200. You know, and then still have the amazing low end accuracy so that you're not paying as much for the meter, but then you're still having the customer pay for everything that they're using.
Kurt, can you touch on how it interacts with Banyan, our current water billing program?
Yep, absolutely. So I work with Banyan with quite a few cities, and they actually already have a census protocol set up. And how that works is they switch your system over to that so that specific information would get dumped down to, let me back up a little bit. If you decide to move forward with this, obviously you have a handheld to be purchased, you'd have software and support to purchase. That is something that I would integrate with your system. Once I have the software for the census, I would put the software on the
camera.
I would put it on Tamara's computer and then work with Banyan. Banyan would create a file that would get set into a specific spot. Usually it's on the C drive under a folder called AutoRead. And that way, AutoRead knows where to go to get that route file. In that route file, it has your account number, it has your homeowner's name, the address, the previous reading, high-low limitations, so if there's any violations, we can see that every week. That's the other nice thing about it, too, is that if you do read monthly, you currently read that?
Yes.
Okay. As soon as, if there is a high-limit violation, as soon as that meter is read, Greg's going to see it on his handheld. So that's something that could be investigated at that time, if need be. nice thing is that the software has actually gotten a little better since the first time you guys initially saw it about 2 years ago, where your handheld is now more a drive-by type, a low-power drive-by. So basically, you sit in the truck, the antenna goes in the windshield, you can start reading, and anything that is in a circumference of, I've been up to a quarter mile away with this, calls in, and the readings just collect in the handheld.
So it'll only read it once, though. It's not, I mean, if you would go on a corner and...
You'll only see that it reads it once. Because what you'll have on the screen is you'll have a list of every address that has not read yet. And when it reads, it comes off that list.
Okay.
So then you'd always have a dwindling list of what has to read. But back to the integration. Danny would give the information over. AutoRead would process it so that it would be able to put it reading file into the handheld, so the handheld knows what it's doing when it's out there. When the information comes in, it looks to see, okay, what's the meter number, what's the radio number, and what's the reading. If I have those pieces of information, I can match it up to that account number, that reading is good. Like all this happens in a very timely fashion. So then once all the reads are collected here, the information is downloaded to AutoRead, and it's a reverse pattern where AutoRead creates a file, and Daniel comes in and grabs that file, and then you're able to process builds. And do all your reporting. There's a ridiculous number of reports that you can do with your high-low violations, your radio mismatches. A lot of times when these get installed, sometimes the stickers that are on them may not be very easy to read. So sometimes the numbers get mismatched, but the system is set up to help you find those as soon as you read that, whether it's a meter mismatch or radio mismatch. So it wants you to know, it wants your system to be as healthy as it can be and as trouble-free as can be all the time. So that's why we do these reports to see what the issues are that are currently going on in the system. Any questions so far? I'm kind of throwing a lot out there.
There you are.
Well, this seems like it's a... easier to implement system than the other one. Well, we were talking about $8,000 as a basic come-up price.
Around 10.
Yeah. What to get this system operational with not having to replace our meter? What are we talking about?
Well, do you plan on doing any touch reading while you're doing this? Because the reason I ask that is because, like, this handheld, we can do manual entries with it, and we can do radio reads with it. This is probably the least expensive unit that there is. You're probably looking at $3,500 for this handheld. The next one up actually is it has an end of service life in 2020, so I'm not even going to offer those to you. Those would have been the ones that would have been offered back in 2013, 2014. Now, the new handheld that's out, it's called the 6500 series. That one is $6,000. So you're looking at the handheld and the software all together, you'd be getting very close to that $10,000 mark. But that would be getting you started even with that, you can still go on your manual reads.
So we're getting a much upgraded system for about the same thing we were talking about.
Yeah. And then these actually, because back when we originally first started talking about this, we had what was called the Carver County Consortium going on, because there were a lot of other census systems that were going to do the same thing, update the radio system and whatnot. Unfortunately, that pricing that census gave us expired back in 2015. But for this is a touch coupler, SmartPoint, and it's $120 each.
What was the special price that we...
It was $110.
$10.
So it went up $10. Currently, off the shelf, we're selling this for $135. So we're still trying to see a special lower-end pricing for this, try and get some things started.
Wait a minute, it was how much originally?
$135.
And you're going to sell this for $125. What did you say about $35?
Right now, off... If we went to Eden Prairie, we'd sell it to any city for $135. This device, this specific device. Back then it was $110 with the special that we're going to the Carver County Consortium. Right now, they're willing to let me
I like that.
I mean, it's 15 less than what
I thought. I heard you say that you were going to sell it, you know, for 35 or something.
No.
No.
There was a one in front of it.
No, the handheld. I went from handhelds to radios.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So, I mean, really, it's up to you how you want to run your system. And however, you know, obviously, I'd like to help advise what's the best direction for you to go with that, but obviously, it's going to be totally your choice.
What's the big difference between the two handhelds?
The other handheld can actually talk with what we call an auto gun. It's a touch reader gun. You can actually walk up to a house, take the reading of it without having to transfer the reads into that handheld. It has an integrated GPS unit into it. It has a barcode scanner and it has a flashlight camera. And if you want to go in and do a meter change up, take a picture of your install and have it tag for that, it gives you a lot more abilities.
Well, it seems like Greg's going to be the one that's using this. Do you have any preference about, you know, I mean, the price versus consideration, but would you want that fancier gun or the $3,500 one? Would you okay?
$3,500 would be fine with me if it saves me steps.
Well, yeah, and that's what I'm saying, because, you know, you got a lot of stuff on your plate now.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't need a camera and all the other stuff on there. If that gun takes the readings, that's what we're looking for, basically.
And then you can enter the other ones in your manual that are not compatible.
Say again?
He can enter the readings in from the meters that are not compatible. He can enter those in manually.
All that can be entered manually.
So he's got one unit to carry around.
Well, he'll have this, and then this will be used for any radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he may originally or initially have some meters that he has to read manually, you know, locking up there.
Yeah.
But I mean, fire, you know, if he's got, like, say, 75%. The meters are new meter, new style meters. If this is from that building, that's going to save you a lot of time, a lot of steps.
Because how many hours does it take you right now, Craig?
Right now, probably about 5.5 to 6 hours to lock down. In the winter, it can take anywhere from 8 to 10, depending on how the snow is. Scoop snow off of some meters that are right along next and stuff.
And then sometimes there's problems with not being able to get to people's meters because they don't keep bushes trimmed back. And
so anything in front of it isn't going to bother it?
As long as it's not metal, but it's transparent, so it's
okay.
So we can actually put these inside if need be as well. We recommend putting them up high because earth can't be penetrated by RF.
So we'd be looking at the unit, the
software
and the
attachments for the radio read.
Yeah. So you'd be looking at roughly, well, we went with $3,500 on the handheld.
How many is that, Greg? Or do you know? Okay,
no, I don't know exactly how many we need.
I don't exactly have the numbers. Yeah. I sat down and figured it out, though. If we had 47 of them that were still the old style, we have to put a new meter in, and the thing that would be like 250 a piece, and otherwise we'd get like 100 and a quarter or something.
Yeah.
To do the whole town.
Yes.
We weren't sure with what the cost of the software and stuff would be anywhere from $35 to $40,000,
yeah,
once everything was complete.
I'm just running some preliminary numbers for you, just so you know. Like the 250 accounts at $120 is roughly $30,000. And then the support and training at $3,500, it gives you $33,500. And that would take
I think we'd have to.
15 instead of 5, is there a better price?
Typically, with census, if we're not buying in the tens of thousands, you don't see a whole lot of price change on anything. You're bringing us a lot of years.
I think the council would have to set up a replacement plan, so every year we had to allocate some money for it.
And one thing to keep in mind, I don't know if it's 100% true, but I was told by another guy that some of our meters are probably 30 plus 40 years old, and back in the day when they made them, they were maybe 65% accurate anyway, back when they were put out over the years with the wear and stuff. You know, I think that's part of where we're losing some money too. You know, I mean, you gotta spend money to make money, just keep that in mind too. So I guess so we got 47 of them out there that are old, pretty old wheel, I guess. So.
Well, and just over the past 3 to 5 years that we've been trying to monitor the water usage too. I mean, we've looked at council here, sat here too, and looked at all the aspects as to what's the difference in the volume pump versus what we're getting in our readings. You know, and we have a 20% difference. I mean, really, all the things we've looked at, I'm narrowing it down to meters right now. So, I mean, really, without replacing the meters, it's lost revenue right now.
Yeah, it is.
So how much does that meter there cost then?
This one, 125. And we actually, this is actually less expensive than the PD meters that we currently have that are brass body. This actually, this is called the Sensicide Pearl. It's a solid state meter that's a little bit parts in it.
That there is a direct replacement for that? I mean, that'll fit right in?
Fits right in. The nice thing about it is because there's no moving parts, you can install it however you need to install it. Uh-huh. Be perfectly upside down, whatever. City of Mayer, they're actually using these in their irrigation deducts. They're just putting it vertically right on the wall. If you have a PD meter, it has to sit horizontal and flat.
Right.
Yeah. So we need one of these for $125.
You don't need to have that to have.
No, I understand that, but I mean, if we go with that and just, then we got 125 and 125 roughly.
That's roughly
250.
So roughly 50,000 for the equipment and right around 10,000 you said for the handhelds and the software support, that type of deal. So we're looking between $60,000 and $70,000, just ballparking, I think. Yeah,
to do everything.
About 50,000.
Yeah.
And this has a battery that's replaced every 20 years or whatever?
That actually the battery manufacturer guarantees the battery that's in that meter and that's in this for 30 years.
30 years.
Census guarantees the battery in its products. They're not changeable. If they die, they get swapped out, and the one goes in, the new device goes back in. But it's not a 20-year and you're done kind of thing. Looking at some of the past battery lives that since put out there, you know, we've had ones that were guaranteed for 7 years, some that were guaranteed for 10 years, and the majority of cities that have them are seeing 12 or 15 years out of them. So it's not one of these. You did 20 years, and boom, she's done. That's it. There's alarms in that meter that actually supposed to let you know when the battery is dying off, or if it's not going to meet the 20-year life expectancy. You can actually pull the interval data out of that meter, and it'll tell you when its end of life is. So it's considered a smart meter, even though it's.
So that the handheld that will take and pull all that meter, all that information off the meter?
off the meter, there's what's called a UN probe block. It's another separate piece from this. This will do the radios.
Okay.
But the UN probe, which is it's just a very, it's a very basic piece that actually touches on the touch pad. You pull it and pull that out, so it goes on top or on the tablet, and the viewer right there.
This much water going in, and it's going
to
funnel to that side.
You have to go back to the house and use this
If you want to pull out the meter,
if you want
to pull out the rating, you can
sit your truck. I'm asking if you'd be quiet once.
All the data is available.
I'm asking if you'd be quiet once.
Then
you
can actually go through a little more right there and show them. You have a lot of the hash grip without you just going to handle that in the office and plug it into the computer and pull the information out of it. So that's a good idea.
I've got a question. I have to say I've never looked really at the workings of our meters now, but you've got a pretty good diameter water going in, and it really gets funneled down where this pen won't even go through anymore. Is that going to change anything of water?
It's actually designed that way because when you look at, when you're trying to calculate area of a cube, you can get far more accurate readings out of than the area of a cylinder. So that's why there's two purposes to it. So it actually it funnels down to that narrow spot, and actually in that where that
right.
cube area is actually where the measuring area is.
I'm concerned with the amount of water going in and coming out. Is it that going to change the
pressure
or anything in the houses?
It would.
I mean, if you got something this big and it goes to this big,
yeah. So then it
goes to me,
that big down the other side.
To me, that's kind of slowing it down and not producing.
There's no impeller in that unit, like there is in a conventional meter.
No, I know.
How does the water get registered? Does the flow get registered?
What it does, the meter actually creates a magnetic field, and it measures. So when water is moving, the particulates actually, when they hit that magnetic field, they actually can watch that particulate go from one end of the measuring chamber to the other end. And when that particulate is from one end to the other, they know how much water, it knows how much water has passed. And that is. So this meter actually measures water at 4,096 times per second. That's how fast it's watching those particulates go through that. It's basically, as long as it's not deionized water, any particulate can be energized to actually bring it to magnetic field to watch it go through. It could be, you know, if there's iron in your water, manganese, chlorine, anything like that. It's the natural ones that are in your water.
It's just in my head, if I have two funnels, and one hole is this big and one is this big, it's going to go through quicker.
Well, you got to think that spot you're looking at is only not even an inch long.
I know, but it's still. So nobody has ever complained.
I've had nothing but compliments, actually. When they've actually, City of Columbia Heights, they actually took a PD meter out and put one of these in, and they actually measured the water flow and actually had an additional gallon per minute come out of the homeowner's tap. Because it wasn't restricted as much as a PD meter restricts the flow.
Okay. Just hard to figure out.
So I was just kind of crunching numbers. So if we look at our last year, how much money we charged for water, and if we're losing 20%, and this thing can get us more accurate, rough numbers, we're looking at $40,000 that we would recoup in costs just by having the upgraded meters.
Over how long period?
Just over the last 12 months, based on our last budget. And that doesn't include Greg's time either.
But you probably have to fraction that just because all the meters would need to be replaced. Right? So it's, but
if it's 20% off.
Bottom line is.
We can't account for 20%.
Yeah. It's just lost revenue.
I had a 4-inch water meter pulled out. Housing authority at the International Falls, and they put in on this 4-inch water meter that was a more accurate water meter. And that customer's bill went from an average of anywhere between $400 and $800 to $27.
Wow. He doesn't like you.
City loves us. And this is, I mean, this is kind of a prime example of why, like, cities like yours, I would say, go after. You probably don't have a lot of commercial meters out there, but if you're going to invest any money, those are the ones that I would invest money on first and look at how do they actually use that water. Because if you have a, you know, if you have a 3 or 4 inch water meter out there and it's a system that maybe has a couple of bathrooms or whatnot, you don't need a 3 or 4 inch water meter out there. Actually, the city did right, I'm actually going in tomorrow, but they went into 6 different apartment complexes, took out their 2-inch water meters and put in a 1-inch iPearl with flange attachments on this side. They don't have too much space. And they had several complaints from these apartment buildings for loss of pressure or loss of water. And that loan would be over $1,000 for installation. I'm saying it's just on the meter itself.
So, Chris, so I understand this, you said that based on whatever you had there, the amount of water that's being used that's not being charged for or not registering, that's amounts to $40,000?
$36,000 to $40,000, yeah.
For a how long of a period of time?
For the last 12 months. So it was using 2015's numbers that was done in the audit. And so if you take what we gained in revenue from the water system based on what we charged last year, and just say we're capturing 80% of the water. So it means we're not capturing 20%. So if we captured 146, 80% of 146 is 80% of roughly about 90 something.
So taking it a step further, is it fair to say that if we spent $30,000 to put this system in, we would recoup about that same much in the water that's being used that would be billed? It's not being billed now.
You'd have to spend a little more to get the meters.
So. But yeah, I understand that. But I mean, so what I'm saying is that if we spend the money, we're going to get that additional revenue.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
Going to offset.
It'll pay for itself.
Yeah. It'll pay for itself. So it almost paid for itself in 1 year, and plus the time we save for...
I guess to me, it seems like a no-brainer, but the answer is, am I missing something?
No.
So what you're saying is, if we buy these, it'll pay for itself in the next year.
Yep.
Roughly, yeah.
Okay.
Say 2 years.
But we'll be paying more. We'll have more accurate water bills.
Yeah, your water bill's going to go up there.
I got one of the newest meters.
It's going to be cut down to one shower.
There you go.
Well, I guess this is something the council will have to discuss.
Can you put something together just to get us started, the $3,500 and the software, everything to get us up and running? We know it's $120 for, you know, to get to the radio read. We know it's $125 for the iPearl. So we know them numbers. If you can just put something together for the equipment and the software and to get us up and running, if you could put that together for us for next meeting, that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be.
And then you guys want to give him how many households we have then? Two? So that way we can...
Well, 210, figure for 210.
210?
Yeah.
So I'll run it two ways. One, the whole.
Sure.
Changed everything.
Yeah.
And then just get you...
And you come out and help set this up.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. I'm the support. I do all of that. Okay.
But I mean, there's going to be no hidden class or something that they have to send them to learn how to run this thing or something.
No, I do all the training. Okay.
Well.
I guess the other thing would be, how do you want to install?
Well, I guess once you show them the first one, it should be.
Well, Buffalo Lake's doing it themselves. I mean, these things go on, once you do it once or twice, it goes on extremely easy, extremely fast. If you only have 210, you can easily have that done in probably 2 or 3 weeks. And what else
are
you doing?
Yeah.
Craig's good, you could probably do it, but Benjamin's worth it.
Well, I guess if you can get that kind of together for us, That would be appreciated, and thank you for enlightening us. Cause
thank you, Kurt.
Thanks, Kurt.
We'll move on to old city business.
Yeah, nothing on County Road, so we can jump to UFC properties.
All right, let's do it. Meeting. Greetings again. That's good.
So, last month we were here. Never thought it'd be so difficult to give away land. But just to review, so everybody's on the same page. We're in the process of selling the downtown property. Muir and Sons. We're scheduled to prepare to close on that by the end of August. As we discovered this, the map is up, and I got another drawing here. Inside the yellow boxes, just make sure everybody's on the same page, that is railroad property. And so essentially, for as long as anybody can remember, the city has been accessing or crossing railroad property to get to the Cans for Kids site, which is the rectangle, there you go, which we didn't realize UFC owned. It came across and merged back 10 years ago, so through this whole process, we learned a lot of things. So essentially, when we sell all the downtown property, which would be the fertilizer plant, the feed mill, the warehouse, all that, to Mueller's, Mueller's don't want the property where the Can for Kids are, so, but obviously the city using it. So when they give the city the property, then it became an access issue. And then we got attorneys involved and everything got complicated. So we're trying to uncomplicate it. So ultimately what we wanted to do is UFC would give the city the property. In exchange for that, the city would waive the whack and sack fees to put water and sewer into the shop building that's currently owned by UFC. So everybody on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. We're in the middle of it because the city is redoing that street, and we want to do this so that we don't have to dig up a brand new street for the land factory. Okay. So here's where we're at, and it's my understanding Jeremy and Steve, you were actually on site with Tim Jeske, who's the operator for the TCW and Rail. TCW is the rail operator, however the rail is owned by the Minnesota Valley Regional Rail Authority. Okay? So lots of stuff going back and forth to cut the chase where we're at today. And if I was not there, you two gentlemen were, but I did talk to Tim Jeske again today to confirm. I also talked to Bob Fox, the chairman of the Minnesota Valley Regional Rail Authority, who meet tomorrow. So if we can get conclusion tonight, I'll email them tonight, and we hopefully will wrap this up. So here's the goals and objectives. I got just this is not a perfect map, but this is kind of giving a generalization of but just what we're talking about. And Jeremy and Steve, if I miss anything, again, I wasn't there, please help me out. I'm trying to play the dream. These are real technical, okay? So essentially what we're looking at here, so the three conditions that the rail authority is concerned about is it all relates to safety. We all understand that people have been accessing this for forever.
Yeah.
Okay? But, like anything else, once you tip something up, it becomes an issue. It should be noted that in the month, we also talked with the bank, because clearly part of the property, the bank's parking lot, is actually on railroad property. Now, in truth, we can go down the ugly path of, well, there's eminent domain issues, there's once you've used a property so long, you could contest in court that it's now city property, but the idea here is to, just technically fix all of this. That being said, what Tim Jeske, is my understanding, Jeremy and Steve said is, look, we just gotta make sure we're safe. So the three conditions that they are asking for, and then they would grant an easement to the city to cross the property. The rail will not sell the property, we tried that as well, is number one, the move driveway to the east for safety. Brad and I just went down and looked at it. There's, as you know, this map isn't perfect. There's a power pole there with a guide wire. I wasn't there, but what I understand is that that pole may be up to be replaced because it's old and...
See, that might be where we run into a snag.
Yeah.
Is with Excel. One replacing that or moving that pole.
Right.
And I talked to Tim about that, that we'd be fine with that, but with that pole there, it, I've worked with Excel Energy and it's not an easy task to get them to move anything.
Unless it needs a new pole, somebody's going to pay to place that pole, and that's going to be...
And that's a transmission line that will not be keeping it.
Exactly.
So here's where I think I got to today, is to try to reach a compromise, is to put a sign up that says no right turn, which everybody will ignore anyway, but if that's what...
At least it's there.
It's there.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a liability issue. They'd also want you to add a fence along the line, basically along the property line, and obviously the blue line, according to it, isn't 100% accurate, but I think what they would probably want to do, Jeremy, is run that fence, the what I would call the northwest corner of what is currently EOC's property to the southwest corner, just because, it, you know, you don't look at it, it is very close to the rail. Again, there's been no issues, but I'm just relating to them, as I understand, is the contingencies by which they grant access. Okay? So, move the driveway to the east, and talk with Tim, they want to be reasonable. One of the options would be to take out that pine tree that's on my drawing there, that's just right on the corner of the current paved portion of the parking lot and the grass. Now, you know, I'm not about moving trees, it's not my decision, but clearly that tree is 100% on rail property. So you could take that tree down and then go on to, pretty simple, but you know, this is all rail property. So we docked at the bank, you know, could we cross the property? That's just kind of messy, but you could move the driveway to come out here, and then you know, you'd miss the guide wire stops about here, so you get access there. That would be their preferred option because it gets you far enough away from turning right into the path of the train. Now, by law, that train has to blow a whistle when it comes into town, does it not?
Yeah.
So, again, that aside, these are the three conditions that they're asking for. Did I have sent that properly based on what you said?
Yeah, my only problem is the moving that driveway, to be honest. I'm
not so sure. You put the fence up, put the sign up, and then see what happens.
I mean, that's...
Literally, you could take this to court, and the city could add this because you've been using it for 50 years.
I mean,
said a word until now.
I would be willing to move that driveway over as far as we can. But I do not want to get into a battle with Excel. I don't want to create issues with the bank.
Right.
Even though I know it's railroad property, I don't want, you know, I want to be able to do this smoothly so we're not impeding on others.
When we looked at it, I thought we could move and stay on that side of the post, be the west side of the post.
Right.
And still, it'd be moving the driveway about halfway over, put your sign up, and... That's it.
And I believe that is what I'm talking about.
Well,
but I was not there that day.
He wants to go on the east side of the post.
Yeah.
Where the guide wire comes down, but the guide wire is loose. He said, "Well, that can be taken out." Well, yeah, he can say that, but XL Energy is not going to take that guide wire out. So if we'd stay on the west side, that's what you're going to have to do tomorrow is talk to him and say, we can get on the west side and just get on the corner there.
So
does that pole actually have to be replaced?
You look at it, and you can tell it's aged, but I'm not the expert. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say.
They did their drill in their holes. I think that's just what Tim said that day.
They did drill in them already?
They drilled in that one. They drilled in the ones on the main street, too.
If they were going to replace that, if they could put the pole on the east side or on the south side of the road.
No, they ain't going to do that.
If they moved it a little farther east, they could move it 10 feet east.
Not like they only move with stuff when they want to. They're not going to say
it's
like I had a deal with them before as well. So.
Well,
what I'm showing in the drawing, I noticed not to scale, is not to move the poles. So here, right. In the interest of time, here's what I propose, at least in, you know, talk with the Rail Authority and Tim Jessel. I reminded Tim that, you know, there's not been any issues here. We certainly appreciate the favor. We'll put stuff on that rail. What is on the bottom of the sheet is they move the driveways hard east is reasonable for safety. Put the sign up and add the fence. This fence, as my understanding, Jeremy, would be, you know, not a chain link fence, but just, you know, a fence to kind of remind folks that there's a railroad track.
Yeah, and what Tim said is the reason why he wants the fence there, because if you look at the drawing here, you can see how the loop is.
Yeah.
Around the compost dumpster. Mm-hmm. Their concern is we're impeding on their property, where I think we'd have to position, you know, the dumpster a little bit in a different position so that way you can get around and to have that fence to create that divide so people aren't on the railroad. And then it's a safety issue. Tim was really nice, came out, said he wants to work with all of us, get this resolved, you know, doesn't want to turn it into a big thing. And I see his point, so with the, cause I, you know, we were down there, and, you know, when you look at it, you turn right, you can't pull out and stop and park and wait for the train. So I see the safety issue, and I see the concerns there.
And again, all this is governed by FRA, Federal Rail Authority, which, that gets real dicey.
Properties.
In all fairness, there is the eminent domain, you can go sue them. Find me a case where the railroad is lost.
Yeah.
You won't find one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just being honest. So, again, I don't think we have to go down that path. So here's what I'd like to propose in the interest of moving along on the agenda here is I think the Rail Authority will grant this tomorrow. I think what I would word is that the city is willing to work with TCW to move the driveway as far east as reasonable, given the current conditions.
Towards the pole. Electrical pole.
Sign, that's not an issue, and it sounds like the city's willing to put a fence along that back property. I don't think it's a huge expense.
Yeah, I don't think. I talked to Tim, and we weren't talking a privacy fence either. We were talking chain link, so that way it's visible, and it's just kind of a border-type barrier.
And since the city would own the property, obviously you can move the whole gravel area east and still have plenty of room to do what you're doing now, but be a little bit safer distance from the rail. And in fairness to the rail traffic continues to pick up on that, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. So that makes sense, those three provisions. Then what I would suggest to the Rail Authority is that then they would grant an easement to the city for 20 years and there would be a renewal clause that just says you have access. Essentially do what you've been doing, right? City review would agree to work with TCW on these three initiatives, and then what we would agree as part of it, we would have an attorney draw up an indemnification clause, basically saying they're granting easement through this, but you're indemnifying the rail and the operators, so if someone backs their trailer through the fence and onto the rail property and gets hit, the city's identifying the rail and they come to have. I think the probability of that passing tomorrow is about 98%.
And I think, you know, you can tell them too, Jeff, that, you know, we're willing to work if Excel, when they do replace that, you know, I mean, don't make it to the point that we'll move it because we don't know what Excel, you know, will do at that time, but we'll be willing to work with Excel on the placement of that pole when time comes to replace that
pole. Do we even want to go that route?
I'm not even going to mention the pole on it.
No, just moving it over a little and leave the pole alone at this point.
Move it as far east as, you know, reasonably possible at the time.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is Tim Jeske is going to be there. Tim's going to talk to Tim directly. He is very interested to work with us. He says, I'm okay, I'm going to move as far as reasonable, leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's a transmission line. You get Excel involved. We successfully, over the last 30 days, turned this little mole hill into a big mulch. I'm trying to get it back up.
Yes. He did mention that day when Tim was here that it would, if we could do a 99-year lease. That's what he mentioned.
Oh, he did. Okay, yeah. I wasn't there, so thank you. Yeah. That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did say 99?
No, that's what he has said.
He mentioned it.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't guarantee nothing.
No, he didn't guarantee.
Thank you. So that's better.
Yeah, that'd be a good deal. So at this point, I guess the city would have to make a motion to go along with these. What do you say?
Conditions?
Revisions or?
I would make that. Go along with the proposed time here and the other things we're talking about.
And who's putting the fence up?
City.
City puts the fence
city
up?
City would have to.
It's essentially be your property.
Hmm. And we could still keep it out. A gravel driveway, then?
Should be able to. Steven?
Mr. Mayor, just for clarification, how much is a sack of wax charge?
$7,000.
Yeah. So $7,000. Pardon? I don't think that's going to be a factor.
It's just dirt.
And the whack and sack charge, Stephen, is they don't have any sewer and water in there now, so if we put sewer and water in there every month, they're getting a check from us, or if we rent it out or sell it or whatever. They're getting income off of it, where now they're getting nothing off of it.
Here's a, sorry for all the questions, but the stubs are not in the building now, right?
I don't believe so.
No.
What?
No, there's nothing stubbed in the building.
No. That's why you gotta
dig up the street.
You gotta dig the road out before we repair that street and mill it and repave it. That's why this all got brought up. So it doesn't get dug. So it doesn't get dug up later.
So we're gonna put that in before it happens.
Correct.
Yeah, that's why. That's why we're trying to get this through so that the street project was supposed to be done by the end of June here. So they've made a change order to allow for some time so that this gets put in and you don't have to tear the road up again after it's brand new.
That'll be dug in tomorrow, huh? Close. Anyway, you know, which only makes sense if you don't have to dig the road up.
Well, we do have a motion to proceed with the three conditions that are stated here on the picture.
And also to verify, the motion would include the acceptance of the land parcel from UFC for parcel 45028-3000 in exchange for waiving the WAC and SAC fees for 441 Railroad Street.
Would it make it easier if I amended my motion to include all that?
Yeah.
Is there anything we need to, since that's access to counter 50, is there anything we need to worry about on the county level?
Only if you move the driveway.
Okay, which is what we're going to be moving the driveway, though.
No, we're adding on to it a little.
Right now, to get to the pole, you can only move it about a foot and a half. Which is actually driveway ready to be dug down. It's powdered gravel and everything. It's weeds growing up around there.
Okay.
Spray the weeds and you got to dry it.
Furthermore, I don't know why you want to do the road back, because then somebody's going to cut the corner short.
I think the biggest issue, my discussion with Tim, again, I wasn't there that day, I think the fence and the sign and the identification are the biggest issue, right?
Yeah.
Everybody acknowledges that there's not been issues, but you know what happens.
You never know.
Right, right.
And Councilman Williams, your motion includes the 99-year lease, right? I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to accept the land change here with the three conditions that we meet for the rail authority in exchange for the parcel in exchange for the whack and sack charges on 441 Railroad, with the hopeful of a 99-year, we gonna call it lease? No.
99-year
easement.
Easement. So motion is made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And someday we'll try and find and see if there's pins down there.
I know where that pin is, in the corner right there.
Property?
Yeah. I know where my pins are. That's where they measured off of. I know where that pin is at right there.
All right.
Just clarification. This is all pending rail authority approval, right? So there is a chance
right.
to say no.
Right.
I don't think they will. But
well, at least you got the city's
correct.
Blessing.
That's why I'm here tonight, just so that I can get a hold of them right away in the morning and say, okay. Hopefully we'll... Email
yeah.
Let you know
okay.
You're at.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
And then Brad, while you're still here, quick, if you just want to give a quick update on the streets, and then also we'll want to talk about a change order then on that
for
project
date?
For completion date.
We did the parking lot, striped it, then added on that and striped the basketball court and the other parking lots that I'll come in on that. Project, which there's supposed to be a swale down the park of like $1,000 or something. So we have money that's the curb. We had money last year for that, so that covered that extra $260 for striping. We paid Jacob Street, so everything's done except that street. And then, what did Justin change it to? Like,
it was. Right now it's, I believe, July 15th, or before. Okay, but I guess what we need to do is just what we want to have, you know, what we want to change that completion date to.
Well, we're
going
to have to find out what they say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's heading into sewer lines.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to worry about is sanitary. Water comes in off 50.
Okay, so is Justin going to go for a date then, or how do we?
He's open to whatever the council wants to. He has no issues with it. Like he said, it makes sense to do what we're doing.
I'm going to August because trying to get it. First, we get that to pass.
So, end of August at least, right?
Ending in there to.
Because that's what I talked to Justin about, was till the end of August.
Before Labor Day.
Okay. Jeremy, will we know by tomorrow? Railroad's in Little High.
Should.
Meeting tomorrow morning,
yeah.
I think.
Okay.
We should.
Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Okay.
Is that good? Call?
Yes.
So we'll do. I'll talk to Justin tomorrow then and do it before Labor Day.
All righty. So we're all set then? Thank you, fellas.
Thanks, Brad.
All right. We'll move on. Public Works, Mr. Schultz.
Water tower, the project is progressing. I got
flange and pipe and stuff made by OEM Services. I got that back actually today, and it's painted. That will be installed on Thursday. Curtis here says somebody's got to help bring the bolt thing up, the pipe and splash thing, and then I just got to dig out. Dig out the dirt. I'm just going to do a 3x3 cement splash pad underneath it. Is all we have to do for that. So that should be done. The whole pipe was cut off, and I had I don't know who it is that had the cable under.
Joel Broadband?
Yeah, Broadband moved their cable, so that's all done. So, city shop repairs.
Well, back to the water tower, Greg. I just wanted to touch on some things too. Is me, Greg, and Kurt, and Justin Black have been talking here back and forth about the condition of the water tower, and we've talked previous meetings about the interior of the water tower needing to be painted. And you'll see, I know these pictures didn't turn out that great, but it kind of shows the condition. But there you can see we're looking at $33,800. So one of the things I asked Justin Black is if he could work with the engineer that he came out that looked at the tower and kind of give us a life expectancy and if we should be putting any more money into the tower. And as you can see there, it says the tank, though becoming unsightly, should be functional for an additional 3 to 5 years. The other thing Greg's run into talking to people is a lot of companies probably won't work on a tower that's over 100 years old. So they won't even touch it. And the other risk we run into is if we were to paint that, sandblast that so we could paint the interior, we run into the risk of loosening up the rivets that hold the tower together. Yeah. So the problem we got here is, and I've looked at, you know, the numbers, in 2023, 2024, that's when the majority of our debt comes off. So I really, my goal, as in the form of a CIP for the water tower, would be that we squeeze another 5 years out of that. But in the meantime, now, starting now, we need to start looking at putting some money away into some engineering costs to look at plans for replacing that, get ready so when we have to go that route, we have specs and plans in place to replace it, and also in the meantime there, look for funding. So, I mean, we have a little bit of a window here, but I think ultimately in 5 years, we're going to have to replace that tower.
Is there? Go ahead.
And that brings us to 2021. So if we do it in 21, 22, that allows us to kind of step up our payments so we can have some lower payments the first couple years, so when that other debt comes off, this will kind of take the place of it. So that way it's not a big impact to the taxpayers or the water users.
Is there something that we can present to whoever it is at the state, you know, as to what our situation is?
And Chris has kind of been in contact with our reps, and I've sent them some stuff, so we have kind of,
you know,
slowly rolling that out.
Government funding or help?
Yeah, I mean, we communicated to Representative Nash and Senator Ortman this last go-around on the importance of helping us out with some type of funding, whatever it might be, whether it's a matching grant or low interest loan or anything like that, because of the age of it. Unfortunately, as you probably all have seen played out at the state capitol, no budget got passed, or it got passed, it just didn't get signed. So, and now there's a special session. So I don't think we're going to be on the high of the totem pole right now. I think there's some bigger dogs that those two will be fighting for, probably namely 212 and then fighting against the light rail. But if they can get it in there, they're going to try, but no guarantee this session.
Well, you can't drink a train.
Depends who you ask.
You know, well, what I'm just saying, you would think if they'd use their knowledge a little bit, the importance of a town that has this problem. Granted, 212 is important, and so are other things. But I would really steer hard on them.
We'll need to sell that. You need water to survive.
No.
Yeah. Don't need light rail to survive.
Would there maybe be federal funding for, would get it declared as a, you know, an antique or whatever they declare it?
Historical monument?
I don't know if there'd be anything along that line, but I mean.
Our best bet, because in working with this over the years, our best bet is going to be able to get some type of grant or funding based on what our rates are at. Because the two biggest grants that are out there are based on city's median income, which is too high for their thresholds they have, and I don't can't remember them off the top of our head.
Maybe not down though.
Yeah, maybe. And then the other thing is based on what your user rates are at. So them are the two biggest grants. There's other small funding out there, but that's why I'm saying now is when we need to start looking at all this, the full picture, so in 3 to 5 years it all comes together. And hopefully, you know, we can get some funding and get, you know, 5 years out of that tower yet. You know, another option to look at, I think, you know, it's just something that's been brought up is, you know, Nord has that tower they're not using. I know this was a while back. I talked, you know, to the old administrator there. You know, they'd sell it to the city for a dollar, but we would have to move it and set it up, all the engineering costs. And if I remember at that time, it was $500,000, $600,000 to be able to do that, even to get a $1 tower. But that's something, you know, too, we can look at, maybe revisit, see what that cost would be. I mean, do a...
Somebody said that one would be too big for us.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. It has to fit our system, because the other thing you got to worry about is the shape of your system and the size of your piping, too.
Well, and so, the water would get stale in there.
Exactly. You'd have to put a, you know, some type of aerator or something in the tower, too, so that's another added expense. So there's a lot of things that go into play with, you know, the physics of water. So, but we're just bringing this to attention because it's something that needs to be looked at. We can't put it off any longer, I don't think. It's inevitable now. It's just what timetable we can get out of the tower.
Maybe we should get our representatives out here once.
Well, do you end up
2023 and 2024, the wells in the plant come up.
Well, the big thing would be is if we do, if they do end up calling a special session. I think if we had a contingent from here, and if we get, and we had some residents that came along with as well, and went down there and carried our signs to help, you know. I'm talking to Representative Nash. Nash is on board. Senator Ortman, she's not running for re-election, so she will help what she can do. It's just convincing the rest of the legislators down there that, hey, this is, it's a 100-year-old problem. We started doing some things to help offset the costs a few years ago by doing that fee that we all pay every month.
Well, we can show them our other due hardship with the other debt that we've incurred with getting up to, you know, federal regulations for water requirements, having to build a new plant.
Their mandates, huh?
Yeah, exactly. The other federal mandates.
Well, I guess that's something to keep on the agenda and keep working on them and see what we can do. Greg?
At the city shop repairs, Kip had talked to me and he got pushed back a little bit with the weather as everything is. So he was wondering about looking at
what are. What are we looking at? Do we have a goal, or how is that going to affect with anything going on at the hall?
I got the schedule from Jeremy. I just got to pick a week that's open.
That's fine.
Should we
we have a firm completion date established?
Well, the last meeting we said between July 11th and the 25th. Mm-hmm. Because that's when we had weddings.
But anything that is going on that can affect him downstairs?
We're working in between, like when we're done.
Yeah, I'd rather they work in between the rentals.
Well, no, no, I didn't mean that this would be doing it at the same time somebody's saying I do. What I'm saying is that, if he can do it in between these things and not interfere with the schedule.
Yeah, that's
what he's, yeah.
And so if we just have to extend that another couple of weeks or whatever it is, I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't know what his schedule is, how far he's behind with the weather.
Council, thoughts, comments?
Well, I guess I'm willing to go, another couple of weeks out as a start.
I've just got a dumb question. If it's raining outside and you can't do what you got to do, would that be a project to be inside?
Yeah, we come in a day here and a day there.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't been there yet. I don't want to start it without being able to finish it. It's only a day. I figured 4 days.
Myself, I'm just assuming that he came in and got it done.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not going to have an office for 2 weeks in a month, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
I get that. That's what my computer is.
Yeah, it's just a mess.
You can talk about that too. Yeah, rainy days can go in there, but.
Yeah. Because I just assume that I got to be displaced. They come in and hammer everything out all at one time, and then it's done. And because, like I said, now I got the internet and stuff now. The reports and stuff and all that occurs each and every day. Up and leave down there. So
I guess we let the shingling go for a whole year down at that one building,
yeah.
But I think we should have a date.
Well,
that should be done.
End of August then? End of August? Middle of August?
Well, I mean,
let's go to
set some kind of a date. That way we can.
Let's say the middle of August. That gives an extra month then, right?
What is the whole schedule?
August 19th is the second, end of the third week.
Let's go to that then. August 19th?
Okay.
Yeah. Should make that a motion, I assume, to change that. Anybody?
I move that we change the completion date to August 19th.
There's a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to change the completion date till August 19th. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Greg, do you have any problems with water coming in here? Drain that we're having? That's a good deal.
No, that is disconnected off of that pipe.
It's going to get better. The sun is out now.
I really don't have anything else unless you guys got some pictures for me.
Well, you had the pictures for the old, or are you going to bring that up? The fire hall.
Old city hall.
City hall.
Yeah, I'll bring it up. I got it up here right now, so.
Down at the park, the drain for sewer. What is the recommendation on that? I mean,
they don't. Campers.
What's the recommendation?
Well, I mean, we're having We talked about a policy before.
Yep.
We really never did anything. It was discussed, so there was a donation box for out-of-towners.
I got a sign being made. We discussed $5. So I got a sign. I got several signs being made by the county right now. We're hoping by the end of this week. And then there will be a also bought some new sign posts from the county. So there will be a sign post right behind that water spigot. And on there will be a sign, sewer dump, pay here, $5. And the box that was made will get mounted onto that post.
Was it 5 or was it 10?
Yeah,
I thought it was 10.
I thought we said 5.
Yeah,
did we?
I guess.
Okay, well, if it is. Okay, that's fine then. I got.
And we've already had payments in there.
Yeah.
They said I should have a sign hopefully by the end of this week or whatever.
I guess what really frustrated me on Sunday was some people thought that cones across there didn't mean a damn thing. You know, if there's cones, it means you don't go through.
Did you turn a few of them?
Yes, there are some that seen it, acknowledged it, and they probably went during the week. That's commendable. But the ones who think they're better than everybody kind of don't sit with me right. If you go through a construction area and you get found tagged, it's going to cost you. I mean, what's right? Do we have to lock the dang thing?
My suggestion originally, but that got shot down. So.
Well, I don't think it got shot down. It was just we didn't know.
I said we should have a lock on it. You should have to come up here for a key. Said, well, what happens on the weekends and nobody here to get the key out? Well, you know, originally it's set up for people in town, and in town they can come back during the week and get the key.
Well, I think the ones that honored that the cones were there probably will take care of it this week. Like you say, the ones who are paying water and sewer bill, you know, those are the ones that I have no problem with. That's good. But there's people from Gaylord and wherever.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And it's kind
of... I've seen them line up 5-6 deep and watch them go right out of town and down 25. So.
You know, so that kind of... You know, to me that should be worth something.
That's originally why I wanted to lock it.
Is there a way to lock it?
No.
Not anymore. It's just a big grain.
That cover.
It's
And the honor system sometimes isn't so good.
We've actually had two $20 bills and a $1 bill in there so far. So
really?
Yeah. We've gotten $41 out of it since cool. The box has been there. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's good that people appreciate it.
Yeah, and I know SEH had said too, they said that, you know, Glencoe was pretty surprised by the fact that...
how well they came out of
it. Oh, yeah, good. Well, then I guess let's try it.
Like I said, I'm going to put a post in and I'm going to put a sign. It'll be a sign like that, you know, very legible, very readable, whatever. And so we'll see once what happens and go from there. You're not going to stop everybody regardless.
Do you think you can talk them into getting a sign made down by the roll-off of no brush? I went down there on a Saturday and it's this dang thick of a limb. They don't look that way. You know, they come in on the right, and blinders, they don't, it isn't bold enough.
Do I get something with a set of hooks on it that we just hang over the dumpster on the front?
Yeah. Or are them, well, they drive off, but I was just thinking even magnetic or something, you know, I don't know.
I like that idea, to hang it over in the front.
Yeah, like I said, I could just take and make some big hooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, bend some rerod or something, hook it to a thing, just hang it on the thing, and then when it's full, you take
and as big
it
as you can do, no brush.
Yeah.
I mean, just that simple, I think. I mean, otherwise it's going to go away again, you know. People abuse it, and it'll go away.
Yeah. I just stepped in
I know. I don't. That's why we got to do something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like you say, it's going to go away.
Yeah. I can call the county and have them make a 3x5 sign, a great big sign that we can hang right on the front and see if that helps.
I don't know. What does the other sign all say? I know it says.
No brush, and things allowed, I think grass clippings,
yeah, grass clippings,
vegetation or something.
Garden waste.
Yeah.
Yeah, the biggest problem I got is the brush there. It happens every year.
I don't know if it's a pain, but would it, do you, I don't know if it'll help or not, to move that other sign to the right so when they come in they see it versus on the left? I don't know.
I think one that catches their eye more. That one has been there, it's just like walking by it and you don't see it.
People are going to do it.
There's a lot of this me going on, and they could care less.
I got a sign being made also for the ponds out there with the address or the most sign and the mailing now that we sent out. It says that there's a brush pile out there, so I think a lot of new people in town don't even realize that that's out there.
True.
So, you know, hopefully that, with that mailing that came out and said if I get a sign out there and stuff.
Is the one ton all in shape, or?
I'll get that wrong.
So
that's easier to try.
OEM got it cured?
Yeah. That's all fixed. There's all the changes and everything well. They have the well plates.
At a real costly endeavor, or not too bad?
I haven't seen the bill yet.
Seen it either.
Yeah. So,
don't put that in the paper. He might see it. Anything else for Greg? Otherwise, thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
When's the fish fry? When's the fish fry? Jeremy?
All right. So first thing I got is inspection condition of 411 Maria. If you're not familiar with that, it's the old city hall. So in your packet, you have about 6-7 pages showing the condition of the hall. It's getting pretty rough. It's getting to the point where something's going to have to be done or it's going to become a safety issue.
Kind of like Young America had with their...
Yeah. And so I've talked to MinSpec, who does our building inspections. And they're willing to come to the next meeting to kind of discuss some of the options or some of the things we should consider in taking steps to get these homeowners to bring it to their attention, and to kind of try to set a timetable here for completion of things that need to be done to the building. And it's pretty extensive.
Jared, do you ever see any people around there?
Every once in a while. They were around Sunday, grabbing something off of where the garage door is, the roll-up door. They had a trailer there. Don Moore.
Isn't that the guy that lives in that farm next
to
the
farm? He paints.
Yeah, he don't own it. He's just storing stuff in there, I think. Yeah.
See, I don't know what's going on there. I know there's two different people out of there, and usually I see that more or whatever than anything else. I have not seen those slab people almost a year.
Yeah. But there is slate there.
If you have one of the pictures here, I thought I'd seen one. There is slate sitting there yet. I mean, it has tied down decent. You know, it's fine, but still, you know.
I think they need a letter.
Yeah.
Weren't they trying to get water and sewer green there or something a few years ago?
Yeah, quite a few years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
They were trying to get us to work the deal.
Yeah.
It sounded like they were all saying they were going to fix the place all up and, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was going to be the next Taj Mahal, but.
Yeah. And then didn't they put some new windows in or something?
No.
No.
There's still
paint
windows
in there.
None of
Well, I think we arrange for MinSpec and them to be here and get some kind of plan here.
Okay, I will do that.
Jerry, if you were able to get a hold of the property owners before the end of the month, the Carver County CDA has a redevelopment grant that they're offering. It's a 2-for-1 grant. So you have to put up half, and then they would help with the city with the other half. Maybe the property owners would want to try to take advantage of that grant.
Good.
But June 30th is the deadline on that grant, so... It doesn't give them a lot of time.
It doesn't.
But at least it's out there.
But I think that would show we're trying to work with them.
I don't know.
We can add that in the letter. So what is the program or the grant name? Do you know?
It's...
Small business.
No, it's the Community Growth Partnership Initiative.
That's pretty formal.
On that note, I just wondered, maybe you guys should send a letter to across from your shop there, or the boys' shop, who owns that building, the apartments.
Milky.
Whatever happened to that, the front of that?
Yeah, it kind of got pretty quiet.
Yeah. Maybe she'd be interested in this grant, too, or something.
We can follow up with her, too, on that. I'll follow up with...
Okay.
I will work on them two things. Cargo storage container. So, Mr. Trebish, maybe you can enlighten us a little bit on kind of what your plans are there at 419 and a half Railroad Street. Is, from what I understand, you're just looking to buy a cargo storage container to be able to store some items on your property?
Yep. I want to get rid of, there's an open trailer sitting there. I would like to take the articles off of that and put it inside the container and put it right where the trailer is, set it on the ground. That would mean be on the side. I think the lot runs that way, the side by the parking lot. I would like to put it on the line.
So up to the property line.
There's a great big rock right there on the line, too. So, I mean, and on towards the rail side, I would be off of the rail property because that goes down like a slope there. You're going to be 10 feet off the side there. So the only thing I would be asking for would be a variance to put it back to on the side there by the parking lot side there as far as I could on the line. And then I would have the door facing the other building so I could get in there, just so I could get into the container.
So is it going to be real close to the street?
No.
It's going to be
way back,
the backside of
it. As far as I
lot.
Can go with it.
Okay.
Before the downgrade, you know. But I want to keep it right on the line by the parking lot so that I can have the door towards the other building so I can get in and out of there.
How long the one are you looking at? How long the trailer?
40 footer.
Could you just sketch me something quick?
I can.
You know, I can do a printout of your property and just roughly how far off the road you'll be, I think would be my biggest concern, off the road, and then we know you're going to go up to the property line, so we know that.
I'd be back on the back corner of my property line, right on the corner. So, over as far as I could go.
You just do me a quick sketch of the placement. And
tomorrow at this meeting in Redwood Falls with the railroad, I am in the process of trying to buy where the side rail went off. So it would be from the center of the tracks. I think it's 25 feet over, and I'd be trying to buy, was it 10 feet there, a long strip?
You kind of heard them. They're kind of difficult to
buy
something from. But
I talked to that Tim guy, and he didn't have a problem with it. He might even give me a 99-year lease or easement on it. Just I could move it over some more. So.
Yeah.
So it's
so. at this point, we have to grant a variance. Do we have to grant the okay?
Well, first, I want to, you know, I need some type of sketch so I know where we are off the street and the property, so I can look at the zoning ordinances and all that information, so I know what easements we have to do.
So do you have to contact
people? I'll run it. Then we're looking at, you know, you have to send it, you know, we'll have to set up the hearing, then got to send notice just to anybody within 500 feet.
Well, it's, I guess.
So, I mean, I'll get the ball rolling.
Start the program.
Yeah. And just check. I'm hoping, as you can see here, that the GIS mapping's not correct.
That's not right.
So you're looking at.
The rock in the front is on the corner, right where that.
We dug the corner thing up. That rock sits right on the corner.
Yeah. And Steve, you showed me that before, so we know. So what you're looking at, you're looking to put it, like, right here, right?
Well.
Go the other direction.
Yeah.
Go to lengthways.
Or, sorry, this way.
Yeah.
Right here?
Yeah.
Right? So the back as far as you can before she slopes down here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a slope, like from here to here. This actually comes back here. We're actually right in the line here. The slope starts here and goes down.
Okay.
And the line, here's that rock. It comes actually, the line is here.
Good.
So it would set right in this area, right?
Okay.
These are the two trailers.
Okay.
Trailers that want to get rid of open containers.
So we got no line of sight issues, no. So just
clean up the area.
I can go off the street here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clean it up because I don't have some letters.
Okay. If you can just give me a rough number on that, and I can look. And
I got the other one at home.
Okay. The right one. So.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm just, it's a, be an overseas container, be a newer one, would be painted, it wouldn't have all a bunch of logos on the side, or it would just be painted a gray on a neutral color so it wouldn't stick out. And that's what I'm looking at.
Good.
Trying to clean up a little bit.
So. Super. I'll get the ball rolling on that then.
Okay.
Next thing I got is MediaCom. I don't know the number of years, but it's been a long time that we've partnered with, probably back to the 80s. Done a cable franchise agreement with City of Nord Young American, Hamburg. Had a joint powers. And Nord's made the decision to end its partnership. So the great debate we have now is how we're going to handle the distribution of, you know, the funds and the franchise fees. The franchise fees isn't so much an issue, but how we're going to divvy out that balance. So that's something I need to meet with the City of Norwood with to discuss, and I think the two councils are probably going to have to come to a formal agreement as to how they're going to split the current funds.
And what kind of funds are we talking?
We have, I think there's 70,000 in there. I'll tell you in a minute here. So, you know, right there, you know, we have $73,000. You know, probably, and then we'll have franchise. So we're going to have, you know, close to $78,000 probably in that count with the next franchise fees.
So we've got control over that here.
Yeah, I've had it ever since I've been here. So the great debate is how we're going to divvy that up. And we're going to have to probably just come to some kind of percentage, you know, based on franchise fees is my
population
thought process.
Or
yeah, or some factor that both the City of Hamburg and the City of Norwood can agree upon.
Is there three cities in that?
No.
Just the two?
Just us and They're one city now. It was three.
I think it's like the whole council should, everybody should meet.
Right, and I think Hamburg Council and the Norwich Council are going to have to come to agreement on how we divvy this.
So we facilitated the monies coming in and out of this fund?
For 20 years. We've had the account.
So they're going to enter a new franchise agreement just with MediaCom themselves.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us? Do we have to do that
so
also?
Then we'll have to re-up with MediaCom too.
If we choose to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If yeah.
We don't have to.
No.
But if we don't, then they just come in and shut us off.
Yeah.
Be a lot of antennas going up.
But there's no issue with having an agreement with them and working something out with Jaguar too, though. So there's that possibility of doing both.
Does Jaguar have any kind of a timetable when they might be coming?
No, they just, the only last communication I had with them was probably in May, beginning of May, and they just said nothing this year. They wouldn't be able to work us in this year into their timetable, but we could talk in fall for future. So what my suggestion would be is to have Jaguar come to a meeting here in July or August so we can ask them questions.
Does, with our current, well, we don't have a contract now, right?
Correct.
But that contract that we had, did that have an exclusivity agreement in the clause?
Yeah, there are some clauses in there. So we'd have to redo it and re-up that as to what stipulations, you know, that the city would want that we could work out with them with the franchise agreement. And also, it's not really a biggie, but, you know, you got free access here for TV. It's not a much of a big dividend for the city. But
was there any kind of agreement between the two cities that if there's a early, what should I say, a penalty for getting out of it or something? I mean, just you're not going to cut that thing in half.
No.
They're going to put us in a burden here.
I mean, no, they shouldn't.
No.
I mean, if you compare.
But now how much more is it going to cost us to go to MediaCom or go back as a single town instead
well,
of...
Well, there's other things that need to be ironed out too. So, you know, because they're... That we're going to have to iron out is, you know, the access channel. Too. Personally, I don't understand why Norwood's doing it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's worked all these years.
Yeah.
It's their wish to have their own franchise agreement. So, but yet all these other things need to be ironed out too, with as far as the cable access.
Yeah.
You know. And then how that's going to be split up. You know, if we do an agreement with MediaCom, re-enter with MediaCom, and we still want to have part of the access channel, and then when they have expenses, you know, how is that divvied up? Who pays what percentage, you know?
Yeah.
So all these things need to be ironed out.
Well, that'll go away then, right?
Well, we'll keep our portion, you know, and then we'll have to divvy out some to Norwood, whatever percentage or whatever number we come to.
Well, I think as you set up a time and we have to meet and discuss it.
How many residents, is there a way of finding out at all how many residents actually?
I don't know how many are on. I'd have to look and see what we have for when I get the next franchise fees. That'll give me an idea.
That would be something to compare Norwood and Hamburg. Granted, right. They're going to have more.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, they have, you know, they have quite a bit more than us as far as the revenues for franchise fees.
Well, see you once we get together with them and go from there.
Okay. So more news to come on that. City newsletter. Hopefully everybody got it. Any comments, questions, we're open to it. I think Tamara did a great job in throwing that together, and we tried to cram as much information as we could on it.
That was a good idea. It was
kind of our plan, and we'll do it again in the fall, where then we'll touch on fall-type things and street plowing and parking and those type issues at that time, too, or anything even from the public they would like to see on there, or the city council. I mean, we're open to what people want on the newsletter. So our plan is to do it twice a year.
Well, that's good. That was a good idea.
Okay. Any comments, questions, concerns with the newsletter?
I think it turned out well.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
Just some clarification. NYA Times article, May 26, 2016. Hate to keep beating a dead horse, but I don't like getting accused of things, Mr. Odoms, on your website, of things I didn't do. You misled the public and provided them with inaccurate information without having facts based on reading an article. I've sent you numerous emails letting you know.
I'm in the process. I've already made one change.
Well, I would like a correction on your website and an apology. It's old. No, I got nothing else on that.
Any reason you can't give that apology here in front of the public and Matt, or?
No, I prefer on my website. That's where
you realize this is where we do business for the council, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Not on the website.
Most of us.
I mean, it's just unacceptable. You accuse me of misleading the newspaper without any facts. Once again, that's an accusation. And I'm sick of it. I am. I'm just really sick of it. I'm so glad I'm going on vacation in 8 days, because I'm sick of sitting here doing my job and getting prosecuted for things I don't do. And then you have nothing to say ever. I don't understand why we can't act like adults.
Well, the majority
I don't know. I guess I would like to know where you came to that conclusion as to what you put on your website.
My impression.
That's your impression. You know, one day I'm going to give you my impression. And it's going to be quitting.
So, Councilman knows what in the article that the editor wrote that you felt Jeremy misled or misinformed?
Perhaps you'd like to read this out loud.
You want to read it, Mayor? Well,
let's see. Dear Mayor Maltz and other City Council members, I recently became aware of an event involving criminal activity against me that took place on May 30th. What took place has also shed new light on my computer hard drive that I sent to the FBI for safekeeping last August, as well as the mysterious disappearance of my February utility bill payment. What took place on May 30th makes me the victim of a criminal act. As such, I have filed a formal criminal complaint report with the Carver County Sheriff's Office and requested that a formal criminal investigation commence. I have also asked that the person or persons found to be involved, regardless of who they are or the position they hold, be held fully accountable for their actions and that they be criminally prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Additionally, I am deeply troubled with what I have observed taking place in this city involving the erroneous events of and actions by Hamburg city officials individually as well as collectively since approximately September of 2014. Two particular disturbing topics that gravely concern me is the blatant untruthfulness and subsequent cover-ups by Hamburg city officials that began in approximately November 2014 and exist yet to this day. Of the many options and alternatives available to me, as well as being the target of these erroneous and deleterious events and actions, I have chosen to file a second formal criminal complaint report with the Carver County Sheriff's Office, requesting that they thoroughly investigate what has taken place by the other Hamburg city officials during the time period specified, and that those officials involved be held fully accountable for their actions, regardless of who they are or the position that they may hold, and also be criminally prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Therefore, and because of these two investigations that I have requested to be initiated by the Carver County Sheriff's Office, please be advised that it is only prudent, appropriate, fitting, and proper for me to not make any further comments, specifically during city council meetings, relating to anything that might be remotely related to the two complaints that I have filed with the Carver County Sheriff's Department and what might be investigated by that agency. To prevent any interference with these requested investigations, I will only address current normal city business while attending Hamburg City Council meetings until further notice. Richard Odoms.
Sorry, but what does that have to do with an article in the Anti-Times? It doesn't even sound relevant to me.
No.
It got, the word got messed up in there. What does that have to do with what happened in the New York Times? You are such a loser. Jeez Louise.
This goes on and on with you. Do you ever get over this?
Yes. I got to take a walk. I'll be right back.
Well, Mayor, I'd like to point out, and maybe Councilman Odoms has already thought about this, but since there would be, if there are allegations made against council members, and if it was due in the due course of our job as council members, I guess Kelly Dome and her law firm will be, again, at your request, starting to get the clock going again. Because unlike the letter that was sent to you originally discussing topics on your website on where the city was to be able to be there to help defend you, these allegations, the city attorney would be there to help to defend us. You rail on your website about all the funds that we have spent over the last 24 months, roughly. If you pursue this, which you're fully entitled to do, know in fact that Kelly Dome and her organization, her group, will be defending everyone who you lay claim against. And I find it's very interesting, and it's telling of all of your stuff on your website. You don't give any specific. Like, you don't, again, you don't tell us why on your website. You don't tell Adam where he may have been led astray. You don't tell anybody where the article was in error. You just say that the article is in error. Well, what about the article? I've even asked you on a couple of emails to tell us, where do you think the article is in error? And your response is nothing.
What about criminal prosecution against you for making false allegations? It's all right up there on the board. Logically, it makes sense to me that the Hamburg City Clerk Treasurer, Jeremy Greening, provided the newspaper with inaccurate, incorrect information, most likely, knowing that the inaccurate, incorrect information. Where did you even get that?
Like I said, there's a correction in the hopper.
You know what?
Correction in the hopper. I mean,
how much is this going to cost the taxpayers? You people out there, taxpayers. This is costing you. This nonsense.
Well, it is.
I was a pain in your ass.
No. This.
This is ridiculous. I don't know what...
We don't know nothing.
Nobody knows what happened on May 30th. What was May 30th? What date was that? What day?
What happened on May 30th?
Was that Memorial Day?
What happened?
None of us have any clue.
I was in Burnsville. Are you going to prosecute me for being in Burnsville? I don't have no idea what you're even talking about here.
I was announcing the Hawks.
What does it have to do with an article in the NYA Times that was messed up? Zero. Right.
You know, you got accusations. You don't back anything up. We ask you stuff. You sit there like a log. I mean, how do you think this council reacts to even doing business with you sitting there? I don't understand you. There's got to be something going on. I don't know. But this is old.
Speaking as a taxpayer, why does this have to start racking up attorney fees?
Yeah, here it's going to go again.
Just ignore him.
He has requested the sheriff's office to do an investigation. Why does the city have to defend themselves? Let them investigate. What did you do wrong?
Yeah, I guess that's true, you know. I guess once we know, then we can, you know.
As soon as he spouts something out there that is apparently completely unfounded because he can't even explain it himself.
Well, you know what we're dealing with.
I don't even get where the cover-ups are. We held meetings on all your things, on how you're trying to blackmail me, Mr. Odoms, because that's what all your things on your website are all deterred to me. You've made numerous accusations against council members and myself without any proof or facts. But yet now you want to turn it on the city?
You know,
and open up an investigation.
Are you that bored in your life?
That is going to cost the taxpayers serious dollars. You tell me.
I mean, as fire chief, I'm not allowed to cut our service in the back any year.
Well, when your foot gets a little shorter next year, you know where it went.
We could have used this money and had all new water meters in our city.
I could give a rat's ass less than what you guys fighting.
We're not doing the fighting. He is.
Well, Justin, can you give me 2 cents as into giving advice then as a rat, or your opinion as a resident, what you would like to see?
Stop.
Tell him that.
Go 6 months without anything.
How, when he continues to do this?
Right,
let me put your name in there. See how you feel. How would you feel?
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to fight it. Where? For what?
This has gone on way too damn long.
Well,
this is old.
A couple of years ago, didn't we actually vote to drop this whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to let it go.
Why is
he's
it
bored.
Keep being brought back up? Can you not let go? What is your problem? Get over it. Grow up. You're 72 years old. Get a life.
I mean, this is old. I don't have... How should I say? I don't even want to acknowledge this stuff anymore. But it affects people. And I can see where everybody gets frustrated with you.
But when you get a letter like this, how do I not send this to our attorney to review?
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
Where's it coming from?
Right.
Who's going to start cutting services here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it should be dropped. And I really think the gibberish on the Hamburg Inquirer should be ignored.
Well, it probably is. They probably just look at it for amusement.
I am sick of being a pawn in your little game, Mr. Odoms. You've made numerous accusations against me. The council had closed meetings, dealt with any issues that were at hand. Am I not correct?
No, you'd be correct.
There's no cover-up. There's no secrecy here. The closed meetings are warranted by state statute. I don't understand where any of this is coming from. You are a council member of the city of Hamburg.
Trusted over.
No matter what you say, you are a part of these expenses with your allegations, which I just proved you wrong again. I sent you an email that Mr. Grunewald sent me and said it was an oversight on his part. It was a simple human error.
Yeah.
You have to blow it up into a big old story. I mean, it's like Fox News Central there with that gibberish.
You know what?
How much can I take? Can the council take? Can the taxpayers take? They can't continue to pay for your charades.
And you sit there like a log. You're just done. You're just.
Right.
That could have paid for our water meters.
Yeah, water meters would well be paid for. And I don't know how you can sit and say on your website.
Our whole department could have had new gear and bottles already for what they pissed away on this order.
Yeah.
So do you have to bring this to the lawyer?
How do you not?
Yeah.
A criminal invest if a criminal investigation was going down, you want to be thinking about legal advice.
Are you being charged with anything?
We don't know.
We don't know.
He can't say. We don't know.
Ask him, Steve.
Mr. Rhodes, other people here have said that you have to investigate that. Two of us are questioning why do you have to get an attorney involved to investigate this letter from this crazy person?
Because the Carver County has opened it. He claimed that the county has opened up a criminal.
Because, Steve, you have to do due diligence.
Has Carver County talked to any of you about these allegations?
Well, we don't know what the allegations are.
It doesn't even say what took place.
Has Carver County talked to any of you any of these allegations? Are you getting an attorney involved?
Well, we don't know what allegations. He's got so much going on, we don't know what Carver County is going to call us on.
Are they even going to look at this letter with any kind of strength? Carver County knows all about everything that the city of Hamburg's been going through.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. For all you know, that letter could have went to the same people and they just filed it.
Well, like Jeremy said, due diligence. We at least have to run this buyer.
Because
if there is something out there, it's going to show us. And if there isn't, so be it.
One other thing I want to clear up. Your February utility bill.
Yeah, please do.
It was never in the box. We checked the box. Tamara checks the box every day. Did it go through the bank?
Do you have a copy?
Do you have a copy of it that it went through the bank?
And if
once again, no proof for an accusation you made in your letter that I lost your water bill.
So did you have to create a new check for it?
He did, but he waited like 15 more days in the middle of the next month before he even sent another check. And he never called or came up to say, hey, you guys, I did cut my water bill off. Never. We didn't hear a peep out of him. He just makes
no, 3 months later, then you get a letter of an accusation of committing crimes mysterious.
I talked to my attorney, he told me what I should do. I did it.
Does this attorney work for free?
Just keep putting stuff on your website. And
because you say you've incurred zero legal fees, but I've heard you say numerous times, I've talked to my attorney, and you got an attorney to write a letter. I can't imagine that was done for free.
Why would? You know, at this point.
This is just, we're all a pawn in your website. It's sad.
It's a game for you.
This ain't a chess match.
72 years old.
We're here to conduct business. You should be too as a council member.
Can I make a suggestion to you?
You can say whatever.
I've been sitting in a lot of council meetings here, and a lot of things get tabled till the next meeting. How about this one gets tabled till the next meeting?
This is continues every month.
We're done.
Steve, it's been tabled for 24 months.
Yeah.
You're tabling it every month. It doesn't cost lawyer fees and taxpayer dollars to table this.
No, we're going
to have to involve a lawyer with a criminal investigation.
With this, we're going to run it through.
There's no criminal investigation yet.
Well, Steve, can I ask you maybe a little off record?
Sure.
Your name was constantly on there, constantly writing Mr. London email, criticizing your work, how much you get paid. Would,
I don't care.
Would
I
you
don't,
not question
I
it?
I haven't heard anybody comment to me about me not being right on there. Mm-hmm. Me doing something wrong. I don't care. I don't care what
okay,
you said.
That's what I want to hear. Because it's hard for me, and I'm just giving you my feelings, is you tend to get a little paranoid when you get beat down. I've gotten beat down so damn far, sometimes I can't get up.
But you're getting beat down by one person. I understand, the city council is your boss. You're getting beat down by one person that you know is doing stuff just to piss people off. And it's working for them.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
About terrorism?
Yeah.
Bullying, you
bully
name
free
it.
Zone. He says bully free zone on his website, but all he does is bully people. It's like crazy.
But would you stay in a job with a boss like that?
Yeah.
You've got four others.
Well, it's getting very thin.
It's old, though.
Very thin.
Where's that kind of animal picking on the employees?
Yeah.
We had three deputy clerks in 2 years, two city employees. We tried September. Councilman Lund knows how irate I was last September with all the deputy clerk. When we tried it, it didn't work. Where are we going to be with... I just don't get it.
Well, I guess we wouldn't need any more room then.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's pretty short being pissed off.
Yeah.
My personal opinion, the German leaves is not screwed.
Yep. Yeah. It is.
That's the way I feel about it. If that's what you want to do, Mr. Rose.
Is that your goal?
Does the city fall apart?
I was going to say.
You're destroying it the way it is.
Since I've been here all 31 years, it's come a long ways. And I give credit to him. He realizes what's going on and what needs to be done.
I hope he won't consider running for re-election.
If he leaves, this city is SOL.
Well, that's, you know.
But I'm just saying, we have it.
We value our employees.
Right.
You know, he sits there so smug, you know, and walks out of here like nothing happened when the meeting's over. But, you know, it burns at us. We're the ones sitting here trying to make it work. We've given him all the options to come across with stuff, and he sits there like a log. You see it right now. He can't answer you, us, anything. But if it comes from behind a keyboard, mm-hmm. then he can express something. If we need a motion, I feel too that goes to the attorney, just because of supposedly allegations. If there's nothing to it, we didn't spend that much. But at least we know.
Well, when we have an agenda and at the beginning of the meeting when we say, is there any added items, Mr. Odoms never says, I have this to discuss later. He just throws things out when it gets to this time and we just go and start letting all of this happen. We need to ignore him. Oh, he wants to hand that out? Well, you didn't add it at the beginning of the meeting. We don't have time for that.
You know, good point. That was probably my fault. But, you know.
So next month, if you have something, bring it at the beginning, or we're not going to talk about it.
Well, or get it on the agenda.
He's not going to talk about it anyway.
But let's make that a requirement. Otherwise, it's nothing to be discussed. I've wasted how many hours in the last 20 months with this, as we all have. That's a joke. And you wonder why people get upset here?
Maybe you don't have emotions, but we do. We have feelings too.
Well, he's numb.
So when do we have to have our paperwork in to run for city council?
August 2nd to August 16th, you can file.
All right.
We need people to run.
Otherwise, a lot of them are going to run away.
Yeah.
That discussion on the water meter is absolutely painful.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's so hard to understand about 20% savings equals this.
Well, That's been discussed, but yeah, okay. So anyhow, any other comments here, Chris, or what do we say?
If this letter actually gets sent to somebody, then I think then that's when we address it. The fact that he presented it here, I think, holds no weight going forward. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, we have more bigger concerns to worry about. I mean, the big thing is I guess we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see what the tabloid changes and where Jeremy gets exonerated or if he gets lambasted again. Yeah. Because, unfortunately, every time, and I'm speaking to the taxpayers in this part here, every time Jeremy gets nailed on that website, the personnel committee has a duty to investigate whatever it is. Just like with anybody, other employee out there, we have to make sure we do our due diligence. I've attempted to do the due diligence in asking Councilman Odoms very specific questions on what he's trying to bring forth on his webpage, and I get that response.
Is that what we're supposed to do when our hire
figures go up to? Yeah, there you go, exactly.
I wouldn't say that, no. I would not say that.
Unless they're long periods. Can you indulge me a little more. What is due diligence?
So the due diligence aspect, to start with, is in this situation here, my due diligence would be to contact the person who's making the allegation against the city employee to find out what specifically is behind the allegation. What support do you have? Then we as a personnel committee would meet to discuss the information. We would discuss it with the employee. We would discuss it with the person bringing the allegation forward. And at some point in time along the way, we would get counsel from our attorney just to make sure that we don't infringe upon the employee's right and at the same token don't infringe upon what's being discussed at that point in time as well. Depending on what information comes out of that, maybe it leads to a closed meeting. Maybe it leads to an open meeting. And so that would be the diligence until we get to a resolution. Now, that resolution may not be happy for either party in that, as we know some resolutions aren't, but that's what our due diligence would be. I would try to do everything I could not to have the attorney involved.
With all that being said, first thing you said about due diligence is to go to the person bringing the complaint find out what it's all about. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have anything that it's about, so why do you go further?
I've emailed Councilman Odoms at least twice, maybe a third time. I'd have to go back and double check if I did it the third time, asking him about that allegation. Since I haven't got anything back, I was kind of hoping we'd get enlightened tonight.
So due diligence is done.
Yep, as of right now. I don't plan on getting in contact with Kelly and saying here's what we found out and things of that nature. I think Adam's done a good job in getting the correction in the paper for us.
Mm-hmm.
In that, I read the article again just to make sure, but the only material fact that was in error was just the timeline when the hard drive got actually to the FBI. It was not Jeremy who gave it to the FBI, it was Councilman Odoms who sent it to the FBI.
That's it.
But other than that, the rest of the article was spot on from the last meeting. So, I mean,
I get all that. The part of that point that I was trying to bring out here with this is due diligence doesn't mean that you have to spend $50,000 on an attorney to investigate something that there's nothing to grab a hold of to begin with.
We probably aren't going to contact an attorney until the Carver County Sheriff's Office to contact someone here, but we will have to do that afterwards. I mean, we're not going to run to her tomorrow and say, listen, he's making more allegations.
That's what I said before.
Table
suggesting.
That's not tabling, Steve. It's waiting for what to happen. I mean, like I said, we're not going to run there tomorrow and find out what the deal is. But if the Carver County Sheriff calls tomorrow, well, then we're going to have to. That's due diligence. And we try to do our due diligence, as Chris has said, with Mr. Odoms, but he's a coward. He can only be behind his keyboard. And now we're all going to get savaged on his website tomorrow. Because that's the only way he can express himself.
So you've done due diligence on this letter. You've done due diligence on looking into this issue. It's done. There's nothing to table. It's just done.
It's only done temporarily until we get contact.
It's only not done. You don't let it go.
If he initiated criminal investigation, Steve, then we have to keep going, period. And we're going to have to involve the lawyer.
But he hasn't.
He says he has.
Well,
it says a lot of things to you.
This is true.
So if you keep working at it, keep picking at him to get more information from him, and he says nothing, you're getting upset. He's smiling inside.
Mm-hmm.
True, yeah. He thrives on it.
Let it go.
One thing I feel is that I don't know who looks at his website and believes anything that's on there. I've heard people, they really just go on there because it's a joke. I mean, there's no one coming to our office saying, oh my gosh, did you really did that? No, they're laughing at him. And unfortunately, he's done this at every city he's lived in. It's just, that's who he is.
I just found out unfortunately. Tonight, my name gets mentioned down there. It's the first time I've heard it. Nobody ever talks, hey, did you see that Odom's doing this to you?
No, I haven't heard this. No. He was just trying to say, no. If it was you, yeah. Being mentioned on there all the time instead of him.
Right.
Whether you're on there or not is irrelevant.
Right.
He was just saying, if you're the one getting attacked on there every other day with Mr. Odom, he was a dude to Jeremy. For some unknown reason.
If he was a resident, I would take it differently. But when he sits on council, the image he creates as a council member disturbs me. Your point should be well taken, what you just said,
yeah.
About until, you know, Carver County or until there's a formal thing. I think council's in agreement with that. And we can't continue to waste, and I emphasize waste, money.
Or time.
And time on things that, you know, just are one person's perspective.
Do you call it a threat, or what do you call it?
I don't know. I guess it's just...
I would call it idle gibberish. Like it's been said before. It's just his words thrown out there. He's got free speech. Just because he's talking doesn't mean anybody else is listening.
Right.
That's an excellent point, Steve.
That is a good point, because that's the one thing I worry about as your clerk treasurer. That people are... I haven't, no. And that's what's helped me. No. So, you know, points well taken there on your analogy. And I think that's good for the public to make that. Them analogies for the council.
And to your point, too, as far as doing the due diligence, as I said before, I do everything I can not to go to Kelly. And I've done that since day one, not trying to go to Kelly. But there are, unfortunately, things that are beyond my pay scale that I have to go to Kelly, and the personnel committee has to go to Kelly on. This, so far, has not gone to that level. Because I have not gotten anything from Councilman Odom's that backs up his assertion on his website. So I have, that's a done deal. This one's kind of a new thing.
I guess if I was the attorney, Carver County attorney or deputy or whoever that goes to for Carver County and read that letter and go, what is this? It probably happened with there's no accusations made on there whatsoever. They're going to have to send an investigator out to talk to Gil. See, what does this letter mean? Doesn't say that they're going to send an investigator to talk to any of the rest of you mentioned in that letter, because they're doing their due diligence, talking to him to see what it means, if anything.
That's why he said
and they find nothing.
Probably went to see him spiders and murder right in the garbage can.
Bad.
Well, that's just a trend that has to quit. I know it.
Oh, he loves it. This is all about him.
We've brought up our needs for the last 2.5 years. It's gone nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we decided to pay for grants on our own. See, this money's gone. Or for air bottles with grants. It doesn't go anywhere. We're getting to the point where you're going to start watching the stuff we want, finding ways to finance it. It ain't going to happen. It's just going to keep arguing and arguing every year.
You got 6 months before he no longer sits there.
There's huge light at the end of the tunnel.
There's an end.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that tunnel, there's $1.5 million water tower waiting.
I know.
Eventually, we're going to need a new engine. not sure he'd vote for himself.
Well, let's put
okay,
it to
that. City office hours vacation. So I handed out that memo. I'll be on vacation. I will provide my information to Tamara for emergency contact. If there is something, best will probably be email. Where we're staying, I don't know if we have Wi-Fi. I don't know that yet. I got to get that verified. But I will have access to Wi-Fi with some of the relatives. So we tried to fill the office hours the best we can. I think really there's only a couple days where we're not fully filling the office from 8 to 4:30. So I thank Tamara for taking the time to fill them hours so I can take my entitled vacation and sick hours that I get. You're questioning my hours? I'm entitled to time off.
And then that July 12th.
Yeah. And then July 12th, we say city office closed. We don't know the hours there. That will change. So if any of them hours were to change, Tamara will send out an email to you council members so you're aware. She will also post it on the door so people are aware, the public. We also will have Greg's number on there for emergency issues, so we're covered that way. So I think really we're only looking at a couple days, you know, in that time
short
period.
Hours.
That the office will just have shorter hours.
Shorter hours.
Otherwise,
but
I've
someone
worked it
will
out,
be here every day.
I've worked it out to be here the whole 8 to 4:30 with my family schedule.
So you're not going to be here for the July council meeting then?
Nope.
Yeah, so do we want to have the July council meeting, or do you want to postpone
it? Unless you want to postpone
week later,
it a week later. That was something me and Tamara discussed. That's up to the council. I could use the break.
Why don't we?
I think we could. We can still keep the meeting the same.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why we would need to change it. We did it last year.
You can kind of make up an agenda.
Okay.
From, you know, the headings.
Okay.
You know, yeah, and I'll sit down with you before to put what, you know, we had tabled here for the next meeting and.
Okay.
And if there is something, a question you can ask anybody here, and if it should be included or wait or go from there.
Mm-hmm. So it's just something I got to get off my chest too. I also believe that office should be open, but there are things that come up. I have children; they get sick. My family comes first before anything. Anything. My family means the world to me. So they come first. That's why I have unexpected days off. If I knew when my kid or myself was going to get sick, I'd let you know, Mr. Odoms. I also have vacation days. I'm entitled to them. I do not skip work, lie that I'm sick, and go out and golf 18 holes. I don't do that. And as far as rounds, if you have a problem with me doing rounds, say it. Because I won't do rounds no more. I won't be on call. I won't be around for the weekend then. You can pay someone else for the whole damn day than to do rounds and be on call. I just don't get where you come off with this. If you're trying to bury me, fine, go ahead. I have a thin layer of skin, but I have a really thick layer of skin too. And I know I'm bigger than you. I've just had it. Who in their right mind would want to work for a boss of such your nature? I tell you. I almost feel sorry for you. Honestly, I almost just feel sorry for you. That you got to use this to fill voids in your life.
Are we done?
I could go on all night.
I know,
all right,
but it's
National Bourbon Day.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll move on to the payment claims, additional ones for May. It looks like check numbers 17966 to 17970 and one hatch payment for 37102. We got a total of 437286. Any questions?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Both made and second to approve the additional claims for May. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Payments for June so far.
For the June, I have one more claim for Stephen Buckentine for the Minnesota State Fire Association Convention for room, board, food, mileage, reimbursement. It was for a total of $892.18. Anybody wants to see?
Is that going to be 18,010,
right?
18,010,
if you
make it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
So you paid for your rooms and everything, and then that's what this is all. How was the convention? Was there anything good?
That'll be in the report.
No. Pardon?
Yes and no. Obviously, you've been to convention. Total attendance at the convention was down just over 200, and it used to be 700-800.
That one is going downhill, yeah.
Overall, pretty good weekend.
Good. So, for the June claims, we're looking at $9,092.82 with the addition of the 892.18. Did anybody else go along that we owe money for? You alone? Okay.
Is only the 9,000 we need to approve, or do you need to approve the whole 39?
I don't know where that 9,000's in there. Ignore that, please. It should be, so the total should be 39,196.38 with the added claim.
39,196.
So
38?
I move to approve the five ASH payments, checks number 17971, 18010, for a total of 39,196.38.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve checks number 17971 to 18010 for a total of 39,196.38 with the five ASH payments. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Period. Councilman Odoms.
I have nothing.
Mr. Bob.
Nothing from me either right now.
Mr. Lund.
Just a couple updates. We narrowed it down to one person for the paint in the hall. And that, so we'll be approving that expenditure at our next meeting on the 20th. And then I'll get with you, Jeremy, as to logistics as far as getting in there and getting it done in between. It was cheaper than we thought it was going to be, so that was a good thing. Yeah.
Have thoughts been thrown around about color? Or?
We thought like the white like this on top and then kind of that brown color darker, that's around. Just so basically just to freshen it up.
Yep.
In that. The bids we did, we didn't ask them to do the stencil like we talked about with the hamburg ones. None of the people really looked all that enthusiastic about that idea, so we said, forget it, we'll see if we can find somebody else.
You're not going to do blue and gold with a big lion logo on it?
No. Nothing like that. We want to keep it so we can rent it out. You know, so.
Okay.
Not that nobody would do blue and gold, but keep it neutral. So that's that. The city celebration survey concluded on May 31st. I have compiled it. I have sent out to most of the committee members already that were on the original committee. We're going to meet towards the end of July to go over it once all the kids' stuff are done in that and then determine from there. Plus, we're going to take a little stock in what happens on the 25th in June with the big rig.
Rib jig,
yeah, mm-hmm. And that. So see how all that comes together, and see then what we can do going forward, or what the public has an appetite for going forward on as well.
That's all I have.
Mr. Trebisch.
I see there was I must have missed it before, but there was a, it says here a change order on the street improvements.
Well, that was a time.
Okay.
Yeah, time. That was a completion date we were talking about.
Okay.
That's so all we'll have that. I'll have that. Justin, have that written up for next meeting. Okay.
Before I go, Mr. Chadwick, did you have something that you're here, or were you just visiting?
I've been trying to get to city council meetings, and it seems like every single one just kind of passes by. So I just wanted to come and show support.
It's good. Appreciate good. It.
You're welcome. Man.
I was told that we could drink beer at the
meeting. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a whole bad idea sometimes, as well. If you have nothing, I've got a couple things. We have talked about once a drone ordinance.
Okay. Yeah.
There's more things getting involved. I read with other cities that maybe we should, if there's a planner or whoever,
drone or camera ordinance or
something
combination type. Thing.
That we should,
okay.
You know, get something on the books. I wanted to thank for that kind of informative welcome letter, or you know, just kind of the update on, you know, what's happening in town and what people can find and do and call, and that was a good idea. I like that. It was very well put together. And we've got to do a little policing in town as to stuff,
nuisances.
You know, laying around, sitting around, yep. Because it's just getting, it kind of just festers. I don't know what steps we have to take next, but,
I think the next steps will be having a CSO go out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, other than that, I don't have anything. I guess I'd look for an adjournment motion. There's a second.
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank yous.